Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you once again, musicians. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Julie, for that wonderful, inspired song special. It's, his word is everything to us. I was having a discussion with a brother here the other night, and he was trying to make the point of how it's all about election and that our confidence is in our election and what a wonderful thing the election of God is. And I think a statement was made that, you know, it doesn't really matter how much we know. It doesn't really matter how much we understand, but it's election. It's all about election. And there's certainly truth in that, but it's how, the thing is, if you are elected of God, the word of God will mean more to you than anything. Amen. And it won't be because the pastor's got the whip out and he's trying to whip you into falling in love with the word. If you are elect of God, whatever word is available, you'll be on the hunt for it. That'll be your desire, and especially in this end time hour, because it will take all the word to take a rapture. So whatever he has brought, whatever he has restored, we're responsible for, right? But I don't have to preach that and cause you to be fearful, because if you are born again of the Spirit of God, that's your desire. Just like in the natural, if we feed you some natural food, you get a taste for it, I won't have to beat you and beg you to eat again. You will have a desire for that, and you'll say, could I have some more of that? And you'll be looking for it. And you'll be, you know, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the words that proceed, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right? So we've been given much, and much is required, but it's not a chore. How do you explain it to the rest of the world? How do you explain it to somebody that doesn't know him? How do you explain that love that you have, that genuine love that you have, the desire to know his word, to hear his word, to speak his word? What a blessing to have his word. Amen. So really, election is true. We don't discount that at all. If you weren't called of him, you weren't called of him. But if you are his child, there will be certain things. You will conduct yourself in certain ways. You'll have certain desires. You'll have a certain nature, right? And you won't be lax about it. You won't be saying, well, I'm putting my confidence in election. You don't put your confidence in election. You put your confidence in him. You come to know him. And when you come to the other side of that new birth, now you can look back and see election. Right? But you aren't counting on election as you're pressing toward that new birth. And the church says? Amen. Sorry, Sister Julie, but I just got inspired by that. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Very timely. Amen. As it is with all the specials that you bring. Bought with a Price, Part 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll just read verses 19 and 20 tonight. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? So where's the Holy Ghost? And where's his temple? Which you have of God, and you are not your own. So you have the Holy Ghost of God, and you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. He bought and paid for you. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Fathers, we come together in the evening time. Once again, we ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one. Lord, that you'd anoint our thinking, Father, that your word would find its resting place, that, Lord, that spiritual food in due season would come forth. We love your word, Lord. We live to hear the words of life, and there's nothing that means more to us than the words of life. They're not just something that stimulates our intellect. It's not learning that we're after. It's not hearing a good story that we're after. But your words are spirit, and they are life. And Lord, when we hear your words, it changes us. It equips us. It settles us. It gives us rest and peace. It gives us faith. It gives us purpose. It gives us understanding. It causes us to know you in a greater measure. It causes us to believe that much more, to depend on you that much more. What a wonderful thing that it is, Lord, that it's something that we can't live without, and yet it's not a chore for us to partake of it. It's not a duty to partake of it. It's a desire. And we thank you for that desire, Lord. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord, and we pray as we as your word goes forth here this evening that you'd search our hearts, Lord, as we prepare for to be obedient in communion and foot washing here this evening. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to set aside all of our thoughts and cares and just, Lord, just dive right into this and receive our portion. And Father, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. Bless each and every one that's here. Those that are not here, we ask that you would be with them, Lord, and strengthen them and bless them as well. We know that there's a few families that are grieving this evening and at the passing of loved ones and the soon passing. And Father, we just ask that you would comfort and strengthen as well. And we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So isn't it wonderful to think here this evening, friends, that the one that paid the price for you is now the owner of your body. He's now my healer. He is now my strength. He is now my provider. He's now my everything. He's not going to be this. This is not something that we're waiting to get to the other side to find out a little bit about. Right now, he is my present tense, everything that I have need of. He has purchased us. He has set us free from the powers of sin. He's set us free from the power of death. Death has no power over you. So that he can dwell in us and so that he can walk in us. And, oh, friends, that's his desire. He created us so that he might reflect his image in us and also fellowship with us, to walk with us, tabernacle in us, expressing himself to us. He doesn't want to just talk to you. He wants to be a part of you and you a part of him. So we have but to respond, as we know, to that knock that's on the door of our heart and then open the latch, which is on the inside of the door, invite him in. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon anyone. God has left us on free moral agency. He's left us with a choice, and we must make our choice. And he has promised that if we open the door and invite him in, he's promised to come in and enter in the door, to come in and sup with you and you with him. And what is that supping? It's the partaking of the word. It's learning of him. It's allowing him to speak to us, to minister to us, to comfort us. And of course, wherever he's at, there's peace. There are certain people that we come in contact with in life, and maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's an aunt or an uncle, maybe it's a brother or sister in the church. But there are certain ones that will just stand out in your thinking. That person is one that you love to be around. And you may not even have to share words. You may not even have to speak. But that person just sets you at ease. Just there's an atmosphere about them. There's you just feel at peace when you're around them. You don't feel like you've got to put on airs. You don't feel like you're expected to do anything or to say anything. And you don't feel like anybody's being critical. Whatever. It just you may not even be able to put your finger on it. But all you know is, You feel good being around that person. You know what I'm talking about? Well, when he comes in to dwell within your heart, there's no better place. There's no better feeling. There's no better friend. There's no better atmosphere. There's no greater peace than that peace. So, and he's promised that peace to anyone that will open the door of their heart and allow him to come in and sup with them and him with them. And what is so tragic in this hour, and it's mind-boggling, frankly, it's mind-boggling, is that in this hour you would think that, you know, we're supposed to be the most advanced, the most knowledgeable. Man's got in his idea that he's somehow gotten better and he's more spiritual and what have you. And the church knows more and the church has more than they've ever had before. And yet the church has put him out. The church doesn't want him. So if you want to sup with him and him with you, you have to come out of the of religion to find him, because you won't find him in religion in this hour. So where he is, there is all that we have need of. We don't have to. He's not like a one specialty shop of many specialty shops that we have to go to. He's not like some kind of an oil shop over here for this and something else over there for that. But it's one-stop shopping. Whatever we have need of, he provides. So we've been bought with a price, and our spirit is now in a holy union with his spirit, and we are now the living tabernacle of the living God. And he has made all of the provisions for you and I so that this body will be changed into one that's like his at his coming. And he's made that provision for each and every one that surrendered and opened their heart and allowed him to come in and sup with them and he with them. So whether these bodies, you know, if the Lord tarries and we go the way of the grave, whether these bodies be, the elements that make up these bodies be scattered by the wind, or whether we're standing in this body at the time of his coming, he's made a way so that this body will not be left behind. He formed your body when he formed this earth. Now, he didn't form it in stick form and what have you, but the elements that would make up your body, he placed them here in this earth. And he has already quickened that gene seed that's down in your soul. And we have already, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God in this hour, you have already passed from death unto life. You hath he quickened. And when the last bride member comes in and is manifested here on the earth and comes to maturity, then that door will be shut. And the dead in Christ, we understand, will rise. And they will come to pick up bodies. And those of us that remain on the earth, we will be changed. They will come first, and then we, which are alive and remain, will be changed. The spoken word of the Son of Man in this hour was spoke to give you the faith that's needed for your change. And one of the greatest pieces of evidence that we have is that we are able to lay down our lives, and we are able to see a new life living in us and through us. And it even surprises us sometimes. We think, my, in times past, I would have snapped that person's head off. But I feel sorry for that person instead. There's something different in you. Something's changed. There's a different life that's living in you. And so his life is what's keeping us in this hour. And it's not a trial and it's not a burden for us to lay down our lives daily to live for him. We no longer desire the things that we used to desire. And we have the power within us now to put off the things concerning the flesh and to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, as Paul commanded us to do. It takes power to lay down our lives. It's not something that's humanly possible. Just in ourselves. It takes power to do that. And that power is in us now. And we also have the down payment in us for the change of our body. We have divine healing resident in our bodies right now. We're not waiting for it. It's not something that's coming. It's in you now. It's a down payment on the change of your body. And all that is required is for our faith to release that power of healing. And then our bodies will line up to faith's confession. You speak it, your body will line up to it, according to his word. Listen to this from thy house. Brother Branham says, now look, that's the thing that's in you now. The spirit that's in you now is the same spirit
that will raise you up. It's not a different one. You have power to lay your life down. You're doing it right now for Christ. And then you have power to take it up again. Notice he's not saying you will. He says you have. And then you have power to take it up again. See, you have power to lay it down and power to take it up. For it's the very Spirit of God that's in you that raises you up. It's the very Spirit of God that was in Christ that raised him up. So you have power to lay it down and you have power to take it up. So just as he laid down his life and picked it up again, so do you and I. Again, he says, and when you die, or your loved ones or somebody goes on ahead of us, they're not dead. They're spirits with God. Their soul is under the altar of God. Their body's in the grave, and they know right where it is at. So what happens? When the scripture's all fulfilled, like in the Bible, it said these souls are under the altar, was crying, Lord, how long, how long? They want to come back to earth and be in bodies. He said, just a little longer till your fellow servants has suffered like you have for the testimony of Christ. Then you see when that scripture is fulfilled, then them spirits descended right straight under the altar there and take up that soul. That soul goes right down and picks up the body, and there you are, raised again. He says, think of it. The Holy Spirit that's right in this building tonight, the Holy Spirit that's right here in my heart, will raise me up at the last day. What a confidence tonight, friends. It's not something that you're hoping for. It's something that you have. It's something that you possess, and it's something that possesses you. So he says the Spirit that's in us right now, not one that will come, the one that is in us now, it's God in you now, and he will raise. He says, you can raise yourself up. And why can't you do it now? Because, see, there's scripture holding you. You got to wait till the rapture. So there's a word concerning the rapture, and that word is timed. It's time-released word. And you can't get ahead of the word. It is for an appointed time, but that life is in you now that's going to do it. Why can't you do it now? Because, see, there's scripture holding you. You got to wait till the rapture. See, there you are. You got to stay right there. See, you're not allowed to get this high. If it would be, why, I'd say we'd build us a little private world. And you'd be living over in one world and me on another world. And then there would be no coming of our Lord Jesus. So scriptures can't be broke. He says, but you have power to do it. Just the least little shadow of God could do anything. A lot of times we assume that the power isn't there because maybe we aren't seeing things happen, but things have to happen according to the word. So a lot of times what people use as a test and think that ought to be able to take place isn't according to the word. So we got to wait on the word. So the resurrection and the life, which is one and the same, is already in you if you're born again of the Spirit of God. So we aren't waiting for something else to come, Brother Henry. If we go to the grave, there's nothing there that can hold us. You will come back and you will pick up yourself. You will pick up your body. I'm not picking up your body. We're not going to fuss and fight over the corpse. You will pick up your body. I will pick up my body. You say, well, Brother Doug, I need to hear the voice of the Son of God. You've already heard it, and you've already received him. You've already been quickened. You've heard his voice, and you will, and you have already rose from death unto life. You see, we're in a different category than people that have lived in any other age. In this age, we've already been partially raptured. We've come to a full birth. We've been quickened. We have rapturing faith. We're told that rapturing grace is in the message. Well, it's not supposed to stay there. It's there to come in here. So you've already heard his voice, and you responded, and you came up from the tombs of denomination and what have you. You've already received him. You hath he quickened. You heard his voice. You rose from death unto life. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. You hath he quickened. And what remains for you tonight, friends, is the change of your body. See, if we are that last group that's alive and remain at the time of his coming, we don't have to pick up bodies because we're in it. But we do have to come forth. We do have to arise just as everybody else does. Well, we already have. We have already risen. Come on, church. This revival is not, this one is without end. This one ushers into the coming of the Lord. So what remains is the final change of your body. You are going through phases of that change. When you experience divine healing, you're experiencing a partial change of your body. Amen. So the power that's going to change your body is already in you. The life that's going to change your body is already in you. The voice that you needed to hear, you're already hearing. You've already heard. And it's going to bring you to that change. Only the Word is holding that back. Because the Spirit in us is subject to the Word. Jesus said, I do nothing except what the Father shows me. It all has to be in season, in time, in sync, according to the wheels of time that are turning. He's in control. And he's the one that's going to quicken that all at once and say, now's the time. So it's actually the Word. And friends, if we don't care about the Word and we're not tuned into the Word, how are we going to hear it? The Word is what's preventing us right now from changing ourselves at this very moment in time because it's not time for it yet. So the Word is not allowing it. The Word has set the bounds. The last one's not come in. It isn't time yet. The dead in Christ have not risen yet. So the dead in Christ have not risen yet. That's a word that must be fulfilled. If they haven't risen yet, I can't be changed. Amen. So it's the Word, not the power, not the Spirit. It's the Word that's saying, not yet. Hold on. Listen to this. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You have heard his word, and you believe on him by faith, and it has been revealed to you that he is your Redeemer. And his Spirit quickened that seed that's down on the inside of your soul, and you are now risen from the dead. This group that's living on the earth, that's alive and remain, they're different from all others that have went the way of the grave. Those that have went the way of the grave, they yet have to hear that voice to come and pick up a body. But why would you have to hear it? You've already heard it for one thing. But secondarily, they're going to come back. You won't need to hear an announcement. Now's the time. You're going to see them in glorified bodies, and you'll know now's your time. You're looking for it right now. It could be at any time, any moment. You're in expectation. When you see the dead in Christ coming back here, you'll know that that word that's holding back your change is about to stop holding back. Your time is coming. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, you're not going to have to call your body from the grave. You're not going to have to hear a voice to come out of the grave because you're not in the grave. But you have to be quickened, which you have been. Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're living in this last age, friends, when both the wise and the foolish virgin were slumbering and sleeping. But a bridegroom voice, a shout went forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the wise virgin arose, trimmed her lamps. She woke up. She's risen. The head of the body has to come up before the rest of the body. Are you listening tonight? Well, I never heard this before. I never heard it in the denomination. Well, they don't know this. The head has to resurrect before the body can resurrect. Well, I don't know how it is for you in the morning, but if my head doesn't get up off the pillow, my body ain't moving nowhere. My battle is to get my head moving. My battle is to get my head in motion. My battle is to get the eyes to open and to accept the reality that it's morning and it's time to get up. And I'm glad that it's that way, because if my head remained with my eyes closed, laying in the bed, and my feet got up, I'd be in an awful fix. So the feet can't come up unless the heads woke up first. Oh, hallelujah. It's different for us, friends. It's different for the last and chosen generation. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Well, I'm just going to say it tonight, and I hope you can repeat it yourself. I'm alive. I'm alive. Paul even touches on it. Friends, it's prophetic. And it's waiting for it to break on us. He said, those of us that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Well, if it was just human life that he was speaking about, he wouldn't have to say that, because of course you're alive. Those of us that have a heart that's beating and they're breathing air, of course you're alive. He's not talking about that kind of alive. He's talking about the life that's down in you. Those of us that are alive and remain. So you can remain under the coming of the Lord and not be alive and yet be breathing. So it's a resurrection. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when he speaks to you, he's calling you forth into newness of life. And you are now a new creature. You are now born by the breath of God. Friends, this is the age of a marriage. This is the age of a union. This is the age where the headstone is uniting with the body. It never happened in any other age. It's this age. You have been called forth. You've been called into a union. So if you're in a union, what's lacking? Nothing. He's called you. You've responded to that call. You're listening to his word. You're feeding on his word. The life is now in you. You are his tabernacle. And that life that is now in you will change your body. When that word, when we come up to the place where that word is no longer the word that hasn't been fulfilled yet, is fulfilled, so that the rest of it can begin to take place. Mark chapter 5, verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Notice, how did she come forth? He spoke to her, she heard him, and she came back into that body. She had left that body, she was somewhere else, she heard his voice when he spoke, she came back into the very same body, not into another body. Luke chapter 7, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I bet there was some screaming as well as some shouting. And he delivered him to his mother. So he is the life, and he is the resurrection. And he spoke, And that life came back to that body. But friends, if he's in you tonight, then he will see to it that you return to your body, come what may. If you go the way of the grave, he'll make sure you come to your body. If you're alive and remain, he's in you. He'll be sure that you come, that you remain in this body. And that your theophany comes and blends with you. And you that becomes your glorified condition. John chapter 11, verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He specifically called the name of Lazarus. And I don't know how many ministers preached on this text, took it as a text before, and maybe it dawned on them that he spoke a specific name, and so a specific name came forth. All I know is that I heard a prophet in this age tell us that if he hadn't have been specific, if he would have just said, "Come forth," all the dead would have come forth from the grave. He was very specific. He called a specific name, Lazarus, and Lazarus responded. And he came back to the very same body that he left. I hope somebody's listening. John chapter 5, verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Of course, this is the great white throne judgment, the second resurrection that he's speaking of. So notice, friends, every soul will respond to that voice. But some are responding to it right now. Look, I hope you don't think this is spooky or mystical, but you're hearing the voice of the Son of Man in this hour. And you're responding to it. You're coming out of the tombs of denomination, and you're stepping forth into newness of life. And all that remains is the change of your body. But you have a down payment of that in you right now. So every soul will respond to that voice. But some are responding in this hour. Others will respond later. Again, there's a man here that can turn on the light. He says, here not long ago, a minister was saying that he was down in Florida and he had him a car. And I believe it was a Chevrolet. And the thing went out on him. Oh, preachers love to have fun with this one, you know. There's the Ford group, you know. Don't drive a Ford. It means found off road dead, you know, or fix or repair daily, or right? And then there's the Ford group that says, oh, no, that's the Chevy. It's the Chevy that you're always shelling things out, and you know it won't run, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, it becomes like a religion to people, right? And then there's the group that says, well, Brother Branham drove a Ford. Well, did he only drive Fords? He drove more than one car, didn't he? Yeah. Well, he drove a Ford, so if you drive anything else, come on. Do you wear JCPenney suits? Because he wore one. I would be caught dead in that. Well, then don't be caught dead in the Ford then. It's amazing what people will make a doctrine out of. There's a minister that left the message that every time I got around him, he would grind on me because I drove a Chevy. Shows you how important that was. Here not long ago, a minister was saying that he was down in Florida and he had him a car. I believe it was a Chevrolet. And the thing went out on him. Yeah. I'd have to agree with that. He couldn't get it fixed. And he went into the garage and had a little old mechanic was going under it and over it and picking around, and he couldn't get it fixed. And he would try this and it wouldn't work, and he'd try something else and it wouldn't work. And he'd put a generator on and he'd put this and he'd put in plugs and he'd put in points, and he couldn't make the thing work. He just couldn't make it work. Finally, a nice dressed man stepped up and he said, "May I give you some advice?" The little mechanic had sense enough to say, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you take this and times this and this," and he said, "and put that together once and try it." And so he took this times that and put it together, and there she went. The little mechanic turned around and said, "Say, who are you?" He was the engineer, General Motors chief engineer. That's when you want to slug him, right? He was the engineer, General Motors chief engineer. He made the thing. He was the one that designed it. And today, when we're talking about Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian, the chief mechanic is here. The designer of his word, the man who created the heavens and the earth. Friends, think about that. The one that created the heavens and the earth is dwelling in you. And the word doesn't mean anything to you. Everything consists of the word. The man who created the heavens and the earth and designed his church, does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Or does the Methodist or the Baptist church know more about what it takes? He's the designer. He knows what it takes. He is well-dressed in the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. He's walking amongst us today in the power of the resurrection. And he knows what it takes to put a church in rapture order. So who's going to put the church in rapture order? He is. And he knows what it takes to put the church in rapture order. He designed it. And he puts the parts together here in the Bible. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. We're just waiting for him to close the switch because the current's already there, waiting to flow. But he's got to declare, okay, now's the time. Now watch it operate. Let faith in his promised word of today flow through and you'll see how it operates. Why? He designed the thing. He designed his church by the word. That's what he puts together. Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yes, sir. So friends, he's designed and he's built his church and he's placed each and every member into the body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, by the revelation of him personally to each and every member that's a part of that body. And each one hears his voice. Are you hearing his voice tonight? Each one hears his voice. Each one hears his voice. My sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow. Each one believes on him. And the resurrection life energizes them and takes them from being like a shiny car that's parked in a lot, but it's not moving anywhere. And he puts that car into action. That's what Son of Man ministry is. It's Christ speaking. It's the word inhabiting a body. Not just an anointing. It's the word speaking, leading, guiding. He provides the spark. And that spark is what sets the thing into motion. It is true. They were chosen in him before time ever begun. And he has made sure, friends, that they will all hear his voice in due season. The Father draws him, and they come. None shall be lost. He'll not lose a single one. There'll be no mistakes. So it's not just hearing the words that he spoke that are now written on paper. Though that's good. But it's you hearing him as he calls your name in your day of visitation. And of course we know that your name is your characteristics. It's what you will manifest. It's what you will do. It's what you are put here. It's the portion of the word that you are. So the last Adam finishes what the first Adam failed to do. He calls forth your name, and you come forth in a body of flesh. When is that going to take place? Oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. I hope this isn't too deep. I hope this isn't too radical of a corner. He's already called your name. I don't call you church anymore. I call you bride. He's already spoken to you. He's already whispered to you. He's already united with you. He's already told you, you are of me and I am of you. He's already revealed his word to you. He's revealed his love secrets. He's revealed to you things that have been hidden since before the foundation of the world. He's revealed these things to you. What more speaking do you need to hear? He's speaking. You're hearing. You're listening. We're not waiting for him to say, come forth from the grave, because we aren't in the grave and we won't be in the grave. But we still had to hear his voice. We still had to come forth. We still had to come forth from the dead denominations, from sin, wherever it was that we were at when he interrupted our plans, put an altar before us and so that we would trip over it. We've heard his voice. We are hearing his voice. He is the life, the truth. He is the resurrection. He won't have to announce to us it's time for the resurrection. You'll see it when it happens. And you'll know that your turn is next. And the power that's in you will just be pulsating, waiting for just the right moment. And then he will put it into action. Universally, all that are alive and remain, we will be changed in a moment. Not in moments, not in years, hours, a moment. A twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So obviously we've got to be in position and we've got to be in our place in order for them to hear the voice that they're waiting to hear. For them to hear, okay, it's all right. It's time for you to come forth. You don't have to wait. Come back, pick up bodies. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, if we don't see this correctly, this is where these cooked up doctrines come from. Well, another reason why Brother Branham has to come back is because there has to be somebody standing here on the earth to speak so that these bodies will come forth from the grave. That sounds real good, right? Because the voice of the Son of Man has to come forth. You've already heard that voice. You're just waiting for the time, the right time for your body to be changed. You have been quickened. You are united with him. What more does he need to do? Praise his wonderful name. So he calls forth your name. He quickens you. And the next thing is for you to, your body to be changed. Listen to this from Invisible Union. May I add to this woman, grace? Not, may I add to this woman, may I give her some grace. Her name is Grace. May I add to this woman, and her name is Grace. May I place her in the Bible. Also, it's called the elect lady. This Miss Grace I'm going to talk to you about. No, the Bible declares, said to the elect lady, that if you notice, elect comes from the word elected lady. One lady amongst all the other ladies was elected. Like the virgin was to bring forth the body of God on the earth. She was an elected woman. God chose Mary. And also God has chose an elected lady, which is his bride. She's elected. I hope we're members of that tonight across the world, across the nation rather. So when you came into this world, friends, there was a seed that was already down in you, but it had not yet been quickened. And when you heard him call, you believed, and you were quickened. But the reason that you believed is because you have an ear to hear. You heard when he called. And that's because of who you are. That's the election part. But you didn't know it at that time. You just heard him call. You said, yes, Lord. You know, as the prophet heard a voice, heard his name called. Yes, Lord, got up. Yes, Lord, got up. Yes, Lord. You were ordained to life. And you responded. Why did you respond, Brother Henry? Because you were ordained to life. If you weren't, you never were to heard him. Oh, you would have heard somebody preach on salvation and what have you. And there's a place and opportunities. He's not willing that any should perish. But if you're going in the rapture, you've got to hear his voice. If you're coming forth in the first resurrection, you got to hear his voice. Not every mortal is ordained to life. We know that. Some think that they are. And the reason why they think that is because they are mentally hearing the very same audible words that the person next to them is hearing, that you are hearing. And they are mentally agreeing with it. They are mentally accepting it. But it's not revealed to them. And friends, if it's not revealed to you, you don't know it. You don't know what it's like to have it revealed to you. You think that everybody else is just accepting in their mind just like you are. And it could be stimulating when it comes into your mind. You're hearing things you never heard before. You're hearing explanations you never heard before. You're hearing things put together in ways that you never imagined. You're hearing the greatest story that was ever told. And it's exciting, mentally. But it's not the same as him speaking to you. So if that person that receives that intellectual faith, if they continue on believing, they'll be given life one day. But they will not go in the rapture because they are not hearing him by faith or revelation. Again, questions and answers. 1954, he says, just because that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that doesn't mean you're going in the rapture. That's for the elect. That'll go in the rapture. There'll be a remnant left here on the earth that'll go through the persecution and the great tribulation. The church will be caught up in the rapture. Now, the church that he's speaking of here is the church that Jesus said he was going to build, Matthew 16, on the revelation of himself personally to each and every one. It's the elect that he's speaking of. Again, he says, Jesus told the disciple that he was with them and that he had chose them, and he knew them before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Is that right? So God places the pattern. Now, there'll be an elect that'll go in the rapture, and there'll be a group of people that's good, upright, holy living, God-saved people that will not be in the rapture, and they'll come up in the second resurrection. This is the John 3:16 group. This is the whosoever will group. And they will be judged according to their works. Just as Cain was told, look, I realize you can't receive revelation like your brother, so you're not going to just do what I reveal to you to do. But just do it without revelation. Just copy your brother. And if you do it, I'll judge you by your works. If you'll do it, won't there be a place for you? If you don't do it, there won't be a place for you. So that's being judged by your works. Those in that category, they will come up after the millennium. But the elect hear his voice and live. Again, will only those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost be in the rapture of the church, or will all believers be indicated? Only the Holy Ghost bride will be in the rapture. See, the Bible strictly, the others won't be lost. Look, who's going to judge the earth? Saints. Daniel said, I saw him come to the Ancient of Time, and he came with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. Is that right? The rapture, the church has gone on. Then they come down, and judgment was set, and the books were open. Is that right? And another book was open, which was called the Book of Life, the sanctified believer that hadn't received the Holy Ghost. It doesn't get any plainer than that, friends. Again, God has promised that we are going in a rapture by election. And the Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. Is that right? So you'll not be lost, but the Holy Ghost-filled bride will go in the rapture. The rest of them will come through the judgment. So if you might wonder, well, is that me? Do you have a love for His Word? Does it mean more to you than this life? If it doesn't, you're not born again. Why would you say something like that? Because I care. And there's still time. Listen, I was honorary at one time and resisted and didn't want to hear the sharp preaching. And there was a time when I didn't want to hear things like this, when I wasn't converted. But since I've been converted, I live for His Word, friends. We've had church members and church members and church members and bride and church members and church members and bride and church members and church members. And it'll be that way, right? I can't make you. I can't make me a member of the rapture. What does election mean? It means you came from Him. What does it mean to be a son or daughter of God? It means you're His offspring. You came from Him. If you're His offspring, you're going in the rapture. Well, Brother Baker, I sure hope that's me. Well, it's a pretty good indication that you might be a son or daughter of God. Because if you aren't a son or daughter of God, you don't care. Oh, you want the benefits, and maybe you want eternal life, or you want this or that, but you don't care like a son or daughter of God does. The Holy Ghost-filled people is the first resurrection of the elect. And the remnant of those, the rest of the dead, lived not for 1,000 years. After the millennium, then the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. See, that's exactly Bible order. Again, from What Shall We Do With This Jesus Called Christ? Someone said the other day when I was talking, said, Brother Branham, you don't believe then that the church will go through tribulation? I said, I believe the church will, but not the bride. The church will go through the tribulation, yes, sir, but the bride is free from it. She'll go in the rapture in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. She'll be caught up to meet her Lord in the air for the wedding supper. She has nothing to go through any tribulation about. She's passed from death unto life. What does she have to be purged from? What does she have to be judged from? Her Lord has paid her price, and we're so thankful for that. Yes, sir. Again, from the message called The Rapture. I wonder what that's about. Now, the rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible said there will be, and it'll be only for the elected. Can I just say it another way? I'm not taking away from this. These words are true, absolutely true, but sometimes we can get caught up in terminology, and maybe that what it means to be elect hasn't broken on us yet. Can I just say, if you're a son or daughter of God, if you're a child of God, if you came from Him, if you were in Him before the foundation of the world, it's a little more direct, I think. It's not any more correct. But it needs to be personal to you tonight, friends. Well, how do I know if I'm a son or daughter of God? You'll know. How do you know that you're the son or daughter of your mom and dad? Well, I had a DNA test. No, come on now. They tell you things they won't tell other people. They'll correct you in ways that others won't. They'll love you in ways that others won't. And guess what? Since you're from the same gene stock, they know you better than others do. Do you ever think about that? You know, there's a lot of things that we could dwell on, but look at God's his great economy, his great plan for everything. What if we were born into a family and we had completely different DNA than our mom and dad? What if God set it up that way that, you know, somehow DNA wasn't passed through the loins or whatever? So now you're growing up in a household with people that don't understand you. I mean, think about it. The things that we usually don't like about our parents and what have you, what are those things? Things that are in us. It's true. Where'd you get it? Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now think about your Heavenly Father. There's no one that knows you like Him. And when He starts showing you that He knows you, you're convinced. I came from you. My desires are your desires. My heart is your heart. Your word is my word. I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. Your plan is wonderful, God. It's tremendous. Nobody could improve on it. I wouldn't change a thing in it. Well, maybe if I'd be honest, I'd try and bypass the trials, but even those, I realize, are working out for my good. And they're changing me in ways that I must be changed. So I trust you in that, Lord. He says, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? Oh, it'd be so hopeless, wouldn't it? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible said that there will be. And it'll be only for the elected lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out of the church. We were really thinned out. I think it was the smallest group that we had for our study of the church ages this last Friday. A lot of reasons. People are out for various reasons. But there's always really good questions that arise, and I'm so thankful for them because they cause you to kind of examine things from different facets, and it makes your roots go down a little deeper. So there was a question, you know, the first church age, the elect of that age, we see that the Ephesian church age, they aimed at and they relaxed. We actually haven't looked at that part of it yet, but we made the statement that the true church existed before the Ephesian age that started in 53 AD. They'd had the word from Pentecost, 30 AD to 53 AD, 23 years. And the word was preached in power and demonstration. And letters were starting to be written. And gospels were starting to be put together. But most of the scripture was oral. And they had the full word. And they were rapture ready. Right? And then we move into the Ephesian age, which starts in 53 AD, and Paul dies in between 62 and 64 AD. He dies, you know, just a 10, 11 years, 12 years maybe, after the initiation of that age. You know, we think, oh, well, we need another 50 years. How much time did he have to bring the message for an entire church age, right? And he wasn't around for most of that age. But I'm trying to get to a point here. But from the very beginning, from the first age onward, there was that seed fell into the ground. There was a decline. We know that the light was diminished. And we know that we come right down here to the last church age where there's no light at all in the church. Not in the elect, in the church, right? So it was a gradual diminishing. And so the question came, which is a very good question. It's a good, you know, well, how could the elect of that age start to decline and backslide and be the elect of that age? Because that's the impression that's left with us, right? You started here, and then here's where it went. But it isn't the elect of the age that did that. Those that had the pure word went into the grave, and they were the elect. And Satan is that Antichrist spirit had worked its way into the church and was just chipping away at revelation, chipping away at revealed word, so that the next generation that came up, they didn't get the full word. But the word they got, they believed. And they believed every bit of it. And they were bride. And they were elect. You see where I'm going? So the elect never fell away. It isn't the elect that's falling away. It's the light that's diminishing. There's less and less light. But whatever light was there, they took it. Whatever light was there, they walked in it. They received it. It meant more to them. Brother Brown said in that choosing the messenger for that age and telling us how he chose the messengers for every age, he said the word meant more to Paul than anything. And he would not, that was one of the three characteristics that identified him as a messenger. And he said it also identifies every minister. One of them was he would not compromise on the word. The word meant everything to him. So whatever age you're living in, you will take every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You will look for that. You will treasure it. You will feed on it. You won't discard any of it because it will take every bit of that to overcome in your age. If God provided it, it just so happens that much has been given to us. Guess what? Much is required as a result. So we can't say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe and it doesn't matter how much you know and we're just going to rely on election. That's hogwash. That's a Baptist thought. Excuse me for a moment. I'm drawing a blank here. Yeah. That's Calvinism. Taken to the extreme. Once saved, always saved. That's Baptist theology, right? There's a truth to it. But if you've truly been saved and converted, there'll be a life that comes with it. You won't be lazy. You won't be saying, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I guess that's Italian, right? Que sera, sera. Or it's sera. I think that's the correct pronunciation. Is that Italian or Spanish? Spanish, yeah. Is it que sera? Que sera? Is that how you say it in Spanish? Que sera. Okay, see, I just spoke Spanish. Taco, enchilada, burrito. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Yes, it is. Well, I'll speak French now. Au contraire, mon frère. On the contrary. We do care. We're being shown what our future is. How can you walk into your future if you can't see it? You must see your day and its message. You must see the portion of the word that's been set aside for this day that must be lived out, must be manifested. And you'll look for it. Just like building a puzzle, you'll look for that piece. And you won't rest until you find that piece and you find out where it fits and where it's placed, where it's manifested. Where it matches the word. It matches the puzzle. It matches the picture. That's the picture of the puzzle that's being built. And I won't have to whip you into it. I won't have to. If you are a son or daughter of God, this is what you will do. Praise the Lord. Now, if you haven't been born again of the Spirit, and you realize that maybe you don't have that burning desire to know His Word, and you think, well, then what's the use in me even going on because I don't have that? Well, none of us did before we were born again. But once we got a taste of it, once we were quickened, oh my. I can't forget. I can't forget the revival that started when I heard the word of this hour, the answers to the questions that I'd had my whole religious walk. I could never forget that. I will never forget the ravenous appetite I had. It was so satisfying, and it still is. It hasn't lost its appeal, friends. I've heard people say, well, you know, I heard all the messages. Okay, that's like saying you read the Bible. I'm quite sure I've read the Bible several times, cover to cover. Does that mean, well, I've read the Bible. Every time I read it, something else jumps out. Spiritual food in due season. Hopefully it's that way for you when the word's coming forth, when it's being preached. Spiritual food in due season. Hopefully it's coming to you in a way that it never came to you before, though you've heard it. But it's spiritual food in due season. Okay, now that Adrian's pulled me off my notes, I'll get back on him. How many loves Adrian? Yeah. God has a great future in mind for this young man. The devil knows it too, and so the devil wants to discourage him, but God has a great plan. The rapture is what we're talking about. It's only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? How would you know this if you aren't listening to the word? There's going to be a rapture. The Bible says there will be. And it'll be only for the elected, the elect lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out. The church. The very word church means called out of. So in this case, when he says the word church, he's not talking about the church age church. He's talking about the bride. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. The bride, rather, is the one that's going to be in the rapture. That alone, nothing but the bride. The elected ones, foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual genes. It don't get any more personal than that. Listen, you wouldn't lose your children. How much more would God make sure that he watches over his family? Aren't you glad you've been bought with a price, friends? Aren't you glad that you belong to him? Because since you belong to him, he's going to keep you. You can't keep yourself. He'll keep you. And you're resting in that tonight. Aren't you glad that you've entered into his rest and you've ceased from your own labors? Aren't you glad, Brother Juan, that you don't have to go hunting for some stale biscuit somewhere? Oh, there's got to be something else out there. This message is so worn out, and we've read all the quotes, we've heard all the tapes, and isn't there something else out there? We got to go chase after this or that or the other. Aren't you glad that this satisfies? Aren't you glad that you're still feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man? Aren't you glad that God laid it out purposely that way? He didn't expect you to eat all the word on day one, but to eat just as you don't eat all the word that's going to build your body. Or excuse me, eat all the food. You start out as a little baby. I don't know how many tons of food you got to eat to turn into a teenager, but it seems like when you become a teenager, it's tons of food. But how many tons did you have to eat to become that teenager? You didn't eat it all the first in one day. It's a process. So is it spiritually. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Aren't you glad that you have a refuge this evening, friends? A place that's set aside from the world, a place that's set aside from the cares of the world, a place that's set aside from worry, from misery, from anxiety, from depression, from guilt, from shame. Aren't you glad you have a place like that? A place that you can find refuge, a place that you can find peace. And this will be your dwelling place throughout eternity. Once it's changed, birthed by the pure word of God. I'm so glad I belong to him tonight, friends. Let's stand. I had about a third less notes here tonight. I really thought I was going to shave a half hour off, but Adrian wouldn't let me. Oh, friends, it's a wonderful thing to be in the hands of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It's a wonderful thing to know that you can trust and believe and you don't need to worry. So we're not worried about our future. We're not struggling to figure out our future, but we want to know what He wants to reveal to us. And there are certain things that we need to know. Particularly the last 10 years of my career working as an engineer, one of the things that I spent more time doing than anything else was bringing teams together, bringing people together from all different backgrounds. Now, you'd have to admit that there has to be a certain gift to be able to do that, right? To be able to recognize, okay, this one has got, I got to be able to read this person real quick. This one has this, and that one has that. Somehow we got to bring these together and keep them from killing each other, but also bring out the best, because the sum is greater than the individual parts. If you're not familiar with that saying, if you've got 30 people and you bring them together, you got 35 when you brought them together. Because what you get out of it is more than what you get. It's not just this individual and that individual. It's you bringing this one and that one together. And what you get is more than twice what you would have gotten from the individuals. Because they work together to come up with things that neither one of them would have come up with individually. Right? God designed it that way. And so, and I enjoyed it. If you're good at something, if you know that I believe it's a pastoral gift that God gave me, but if you're good at something, you'll enjoy it, and it doesn't seem so much like work, though there are always parts of things that you'd rather not have to do, but as long as you get to do some of the good stuff, you're willing. And we were literally bringing people together to form teams from all different backgrounds, and they weren't even speaking. Yeah, they all spoke English, perhaps, but they weren't speaking the same language, you know. They didn't have the same backgrounds, the same skills, yet they were all necessary. They all had a part. And then there's what is it that we're trying to do? Why is this team formed? What's our vision? What's our mission statement? What is it that we're coming together to do? So what that involved, it didn't matter what the team was called together to do. You needed to distill in as few words as you could the vision for the team. This is what we are all coming together to do. This. And we're going to do it with this amount of money and at this amount of time. But this is, because otherwise, how do you know when you're done? How do you know when you've come to the end if you don't know what you're doing? And how can you work together to do whatever it is if you don't know what it is that you're doing? So you have to put the vision before the people. This is no different. We have to find our purpose in the word of the hour, which is the word of God, but it's that portion of the word that's to be fulfilled in this age. It's not, Luther couldn't tell you. If Luther were to raise from the dead and come and just visit us for a short while, he couldn't give you the vision for this day, because the vision for his day was for his day. And they fulfilled that. So we need to have the vision for our day. That's what the message is. the message is showing you God's plan that he wants to fulfill in your life and where you fit in the team. And just like out there with the engineers, one might be a chemical engineer, one might be mechanical, one might be electrical. The electrical engineer may not understand the mechanics that the mechanical engineer has to understand, and he may not understand chemistry, but the guy that's a chemist, he understands that. So he takes care of that part. The electrical engineer takes care of that part, and so on and so forth. There has to be an element of trust. There has to be a vision. There has to be rules, guidelines that are set. The vision has to be put before the team, and they have to be reminded. It has to constantly be refreshed, because you'll find yourself in short order down in the weeds and trying to solve problems, and if you're not careful, you'll try to solve the wrong problem. A problem, necessarily, but maybe not a problem that needs to be solved for you to get this job done. So you have to come back, okay, why are we together? What is it that we're trying to do? We're not trying to just solve any problem. We're trying to solve the problem that's before us to reach the goal that's before us. Are you listening? Now, how many of you would think that that would be easy to do? All different education levels, all different backgrounds, different races, different likes and dislikes. It's not easy. It requires a certain level of humility. It requires for you to not insist that all the ideas come from you. That you recognize, as I've said before, credit doesn't pay the bills, so don't worry about credit. If the team succeeds, everybody succeeds, and there's enough success to go around. Don't need to be a hog, right? Just need to succeed. Need to work together. So, strangely enough, that's easier than pastoring a church. It's a lot easier. And yet, you would look at it and think, oh man, that must be really hard. Not everybody can do that. I've seen a lot of good programs that should have succeeded crash and burn because they couldn't get everybody on the same page, couldn't stop the infighting, couldn't keep everybody focused on the goal, there wasn't the right direction, whatever. The material was there, the talent was there, but they just couldn't come together, unite as a body to fulfill what it was that they came together to do. But you're not, when you form teams like that, you're not battling spirits and powers and principalities. You don't have spirits with other agendas that are trying to undermine, right? So that's why it's a whole lot harder as a pastor, because there are those of you here tonight that want to see the vision, that don't want to get caught up in this and that and the other. You're here for that one. You love the word. You want to hear the next command. You want to see what the next part is. You want to know. You want to be led. You want to be directed. You see the progress. You know where we're going. You know that the rapture is your goal, the coming of the Lord. You love his word. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing. Nothing's going to shake you. You've been here. You're continuing on. You'll be there to the end. But everybody doesn't come for that reason. So we got to keep our focus. We have to know what the goal is. How far, Brother Dutch, are we expected to carry this torch? Right? Anybody know? How far? 30-meter line? 10 feet from, how far? How about into that other dimension? Has anybody else been asked to do that yet? You're it. I'm looking at the elite core. I'm looking tonight at the finishers of the race. Now, you might think tonight, well, no, we're no different than people in any of the other ages. That's a wrong idea. God put you here in this last age and constructed you in such a way that you could take this fire that's seven times hotter and reach the goal. And literally millions of those that are asleep waiting to come back and pick up bodies are relying on you tonight. Amen. And that's why they'll come and shake your hand one day and say, how did you make it? How did you overcome? I'm trying to stop here. But I'm also trying to put this picture before you. Keep it before you. Don't weary in well-doing. Don't keep your eyes on the coming of the Lord. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the purpose. Amen. Every day we're taking a step closer. Amen. Every day we're getting closer to that body change. Amen. Getting closer to stepping into that theophany. For those of us that are alive and remain, every day we're getting closer and closer. Every day more and more of His word is being fulfilled, which is bringing us closer and closer to a rapture. We don't want to get distracted. We don't want to look to the right or the left. There are going to be people that will go this way. There are going to be people that go that way. We're sorry. We're sad. But you can't spend your time. You got to keep, just like the team that I had at work, there are people that would leave the team. They would go to work on another program. I can't spend my time wondering what they're doing on another program. Yeah, I'm sad. I enjoyed the time I worked with them. But I got to finish my race. I can't be distracted. I can't let people problems get in the way. I can't let anything get in the way. The power is in this word. I just got to keep my ear open. I got to be ready to hear. And I got to be ready to obey. I got to be ready to say, Lord, be it unto me. What you just revealed to me, be it unto me. Let me walk in that. That was just preached. Brother Andy just preached that. I want to be dressed in that. Brother Eli just brought that from another direction. I want to see that in my life. I want that manifested in my life. This wasn't just some entertaining thing. It wasn't information. These are words of life. That if they are applied to my life, I'll be changed. They will change me from glory to glory to glory. I will come closer and closer to that body change. Hallelujah. And it's all good. It's all for the better. And the church says, hallelujah. Now, I enjoyed most of that, doing that at work, and didn't even know that I necessarily was a gift in my life. I mean, I've always been a leader my whole life. If you're a leader, you're born that way. But it's not until you're put into it's not until you're given opportunities a lot of times that you find out what you're made of. You find out how far you can go. What's been put in you. But that wasn't, God didn't put that in me so that I could lead engineering teams. But in leading engineering teams, it showed me what he did put in me. And what he put in me was to lead a portion of the body. To be able to say, no, we will not fail. That was the other thing. We didn't accept failure. Well, can we try this? Have you tried that? Did you do this? Did you do that? Are you sure? And most of the time, they weren't barriers. We found other ways around them. And we succeeded. This is more than that. Because, Brother Michael, whatever comes in front of us, it can't keep us back. Well, it looks impossible. We got to stop here. No, because there's where we're supposed to be. Here's where we're at. That can't stop us. Well, how are we going to get through? Well, let's just pray about it. Let's seek God. Let's Let's ask him to reveal his word to us, to show us the way. How do we get through this next step? Together? As a body? No credit hounds? Nobody getting glory? When we succeed, we all succeed. As the saying goes, success has many relatives, grandchildren even. You understand? Everybody wants to be attached. Oh, I'm related to that guy that succeeded. Yeah. Elvis was my uncle. But what if we fail? The other side of it is, failure is an orphan. Oh, I don't know that guy. Oh, no. No, you misunderstood. No, we were never close. No, it's B-A-K-E-R, not B-A-K-K-E-R. That's Jim Baker that you're thinking of. Name spelled a little different. Now, what if he was the church age messenger? Well, I would have been said, well, there was a mistake in how they spelled my name. There's really supposed to be two K's or whatever. You see what I'm talking about? We're not in this to fail. You're not here to... You didn't go through all you went to leave Spain and come over here, take on a new name, knowing that you were going to take on another new name, another name change. You didn't do that to stay the same, to repeat what you had. Something in you was calling you. You didn't know it, but something in you was directing you and leading you. Just as something's in you tonight, directing you and leading you. I know I'm belaboring this, friends. I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. But I'm trying real hard for a purpose before we go to this table, because I want you to step out in faith tonight. Because every one of us has certain obstacles that we've run into that are discouraging us. And if this was a team at Raytheon, I'd sit down and talk with you. I'd go sit and I'd talk to all my team leads. And okay, what are your challenges? What have you got done? What do you need? How can we help you to succeed? Well, we want to do that here too. What's holding you back? What's got you discouraged? Okay, let's just put our arms together and pray together. And let's get through this. Because failure is not an option. And the team will fail if any one of us fails, if we're a part of that body. So I may need to help you with whatever obstacle that you're in. You may need to help me. We need to help one another, certainly. And we need to stay humble and not care about who gets credit. Because we're all going to enjoy, we're all going to, what's the word? We're all going to take part in the success. We're all going to benefit from the success. We're not the three musketeers, but one for all and all for one, right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So before we go to this table tonight, friends, just bow your head for a moment. Every one of us are facing trials in our life. If you're not facing a trial, if there's no challenge in your life, that's because you're not alive. I'm quite sure you're alive because you're here tonight. You're breathing. You're on the earth. So you're facing trials. But sometimes we're facing things that we can't see how to get past it. And sometimes that's really discouraging. And sometimes the enemy will tell us that we're not going to get past it. And maybe nobody else knows anything about it. And maybe we feel like we're not a very good Christian or a very good church member, whatever it might be, because we've got this certain thing that we've been facing. Maybe nobody else knows about it. We think if somebody else knew anything about it, that they wouldn't care about us anymore, or they'd think less of us. But we need to realize that every one of us goes through those things. Every single one of us. and that we need one another. And that the goal is to cross that finish line. The goal is to finish this race. God put you here to finish the race. He didn't put you here to just run so far and give up. There's nobody to hand it to, friends. There's not another age. As Brother Bram said, if there isn't a rapture where we're at, there's nobody else to take this further into the coming of the Lord. It's you. It's me. It's us. And together, we're stronger than we are as individuals. And with this light that we have, with this revealed word, nothing will stand in, nothing is impossible. Nothing will stand before the goal, which is the change of the body. The last one coming in, the change of the body. So with every head bowed, every eye closed this evening, I want us to just talk it over with the Lord for a moment. Whatever it might be. Whatever it is that you're facing here tonight, May that faith find its resting place. May you dare to cast the net over to the other side of the boat. You say, well, I've been casting it. What difference does it make? What other side of the boat? Why should I cast it in again? I've done it over and over. The difference is there's faith in the building tonight. And we're together. We're uniting our licks of fire. Whether we mention it to one another or not, whether I even know what your challenge is, I can unite my faith with yours. You can draw on my faith. I can draw on your faith. We can all benefit. And we can believe that we're going to take that next step and we're going to get through that obstacle. Yes, there'll be another trial. Yes, there'll be another challenge. But one thing at a time, one victory at a time. I want each and every one of us, whether it's a baby step, whatever it is, it's progress. It's a step in the right direction. And that's what faith, that's what the word is preached for. That's what overcoming is all about. Let's take that faith that's being ministered to us tonight. Let's take that word. Let's take these thoughts and make them our thoughts. And let's talk it over with the Lord and say, Lord, I've got this challenge. I've got that challenge. I've got this thing. But I'm trusting in you tonight. And somehow I'm going to get to the other side of it. Failure is not an option. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to question. Maybe I can't see how I'm going to get through this, but I am going to get through it. And all glory would be to your name. Lord, if it's word that I need to hear preached, may you cause that preacher, whoever it might be, to preach that word, that living word. And may my heart be open to receive it. May it be applied to my life. Because we know the power is in the word. The life is in the word. Everything we have need of. But Lord, I don't want to stay the same. I appreciate all that you've done. I appreciate the meetings that we just had. Maybe for some of us, it's the highest point that we've ever been at. Maybe we're thinking, wow, the meetings can't get any better than this, but they can. And that's not to diminish at all or to take away at all. We got what we were supposed to have, and it was wonderful, and it's tremendous. But we're going higher and higher, deeper and deeper. And it causes us to just want to draw from Him whatever it is that we have need of. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think it would be helpful tonight that if you have a need on your heart, as we've been speaking about this, you don't have to, I'm not asking anybody to speak out whatever the need is, but I think it would be helpful for you to indicate it with an uplifted hand. That hand being lifted in the air saying, Lord, I have a need, but I also believe that you have a solution. And I'm going to raise my hand confessing that tonight. Maybe I don't know what the solution is. Maybe it's something that I've faced for a long time. Maybe it's something that I worried about. Maybe it's something that the devil has convinced me that I'll never get past this point. But Lord, I'm going to step out in faith tonight. And I'm going to declare that I'm going to get through whatever this situation is, whatever this trial is. It's going to get worked out. And it's going to take us closer to that goal. And maybe if you don't have a need that comes to your mind, maybe you wouldn't mind just lifting your hand tonight and saying, I'm going to pray for those that do. I want to pray for my brother and my sister because I care tonight. And I want God to use me. I want Him to work through me to intercede on behalf of my brother or sister. Dogpile on that devil. Chase those spirits. Be an encouragement. Be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Be a part to inspire hope and faith and encouragement. To love my brother, to love my sister, whatever it might be. I want to be used to help this team, to help this portion of the body succeed. To reach that goal, to reach that high calling, that mark that's been placed before us. That the Word is showing. Father, there's hands lifted up all over the building for various reasons. Lord, I got both of my hands up tonight. Father, we want to see Your Word, Your vision for this local body. We want to see it fulfilled on the earth as it is in heaven. We know that You have a plan. We know that You have a vision. We know that You have a purpose. It's not some random thing. It's not the pastor's desire or somebody else's desire. It's not us coming together and reasoning together and saying, well, what do you think it ought to be? Or what do you want it to be? But it's Your vision for this portion. For this portion of Your body. And You predestinated a portion of Your Word to be fulfilled in this portion of the body in this hour. Lord, may that just be so plain to us. May we walk in it. May we become the fulfillment of it on this earth as it is in heaven. Grant it tonight, Lord. Father, as we come to the table tonight, Lord, we confess anything that we haven't confessed. Father, we don't want anything to stand in the way. We want our conscience to be cleared. So, Lord, forgive us. Lord, if we've wronged anyone, may You forgive us. May we make things right. Lord, if there's any doubt or question that we might have been a hindrance, or we know that all things are legal, but not all things are expedient. If we've done something that might have stumbled a brother or sister, we don't want to do that. We don't want to take a chance. Give us the grace, Lord, to go to that one and not take a chance, but to say, if I've done this, I didn't mean to. Please overlook it. Please forgive. Lord, we'll, just like You, we'll be quick to forgive. Lord, who can turn down a sincere confession, a heartfelt confession? Who could hold anything against another when there's genuine sorrow and repentance? Lord, that's our approach with You. May that be our approach with one another. I pray that Your blessings be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that as we come to this table tonight, that we would experience the healing that's already in the cup, Lord, in obedience to Your Word. This is a commandment, not a suggestion. It's a commandment, it's a directive that You've given to Your church. And it's a pleasure, Lord, to be obedient to Your Word. Thank You for giving us that desire, and thank You for giving us the ability to walk in it and for it to be fulfilled in our lives. So, Lord, we pray that we would all leave differently here tonight. Lord, we pray that each one of us would be working on a testimony. Father, that when we come back together, we can testify of God did this or God did that. Because we know that You're a living God. And if You're a living God, there are things that are taking place all the time. If You're our provider, You're providing. If You're our solution, then solutions are being given. If You're our way maker, then ways are being made. We want to testify of it, Lord. We want to speak of it. We know it'll encourage one another. Father, as we partake of the symbols tonight, we know that the bread that's been made, that's been were prepared with holy hands. We ask that you would bless the hands that you have prepared it, that you'd bless the bread itself, Lord, to the goodness of our bodies. The wine likewise, Lord, we pray that you would bless it to the goodness of our body. And Father, as we take these symbols in, we know that they're just symbols, but we want to take them in faith and recognizing, Lord, that we're asking you to search our heart. We're testifying, Lord, that as we take that bread, it's a type of your body that was given for us. It's a type of your word, especially in this hour. We are most aware of that in this hour. Lord, as we take that in, maybe likewise, Lord, be quick to take your unleavened word, unmixed word, your pure word that you've given to us. May we take that in, Lord, and may it become life. May it become may it be the bread of life that sustains us in this hour. And Father, as we partake of the wine, may it be a type of our heart's cry for more of your Spirit, for a stirring of your Spirit, for more oil, more stimulation that comes with that revelation, more light-giving oil that can be burned to bring forth that life, more revelation. As we partake of it, Lord, we're inviting your Spirit to have greater and greater liberty in our lives. Lord, to just keep us on fire, to keep us burning until the break of day. As we partake of it in symbol, may we do it with those thoughts in our mind, Lord, that we're taking in the very life that was in your blood. When we're taking your life within us and becoming your tabernacle. And then, Lord, as we then go to wash one another's feet, and we recognize what a privilege it is, Lord, to handle the purchase of your blood and to minister to the portions of your body that are here tonight, knowing just how valuable that they are to you. They're priceless to you, Lord. You spared nothing to pay the price for them. You did what no one else could do. No one could afford what you paid. No one could pay what you paid. But you did it willingly. So, Lord, as we wash one another's feet, may we put ourselves at one another's feet and recognize just the value of our brother and sister. No matter what we look at, no matter what we see, it's what you see here tonight, Lord. A hidden treasure. May we be an encouragement to our brother or our sister accordingly. Bless each and every one, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been here.